Oh God. Oh my God.
Right.
Which one am I? Three?
The usual.
Yeah, you are three right now. Yeah.
The usual. It's been 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. Come on.
I'm number one where I live. In my home studio.
In your own heart. Yeah.
Oh, fuck no. I'm like seven in my own heart.
Well, hey, look at us. We did it. And now we're recording in person.
I'm not a fan of this.
In person?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it's lost its charm.
Yeah.
It's hard to subjugate yourself to the radiance that is my presence.
I've missed you too.
As you should.
I don't know. It's 8 a.m. I've only had one cup of coffee, so
this is your doing though.
Yeah. So welcome back to Cage Match, cool and a roundabout way of meeting Nicolas Cage, which hasn't worked and at this point probably won't.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm your host, Sean, here with my co-host,
Nick.
And our producer,
Peter. Hello.
And Rosie and Ben are with us in the studio today because I drove up from Portland and I could not find a dog sitter.
So yeah, if you hear the clickety-clack, click-clacks, that's Rosie. Yep. And if you hear a clippity-clop, clip-clop, that's a judge.
Speaking of judging, that's what we do on this podcast. We started with 64 Nicolas Cage films and we're down to the final two.
That's math.
Yeah.
Is that math?
Eventually.
Wait, we've been doing math this whole time?
Yeah, it's a trick.
Sean, this has actually been one big long con to get you that GED. We're going to get you there, buddy.
Congratulations. You did it.
Next podcast is going to be reading comprehension.
I wouldn't hold your breath on that one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you guys want to talk about what we actually did for the finale? I mean, most of the people who listen probably already know because they were probably there. But there are other people who listen to this show who we don't know.
Yeah.
Which is shocking.
Weird.
And thank you for listening, whoever you are. Yeah,
also, thank you for those who have just jumped on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
Stuart.
Yeah, thanks, Stuart.
You'll have 3 years of episodes to catch up on. Then you can listen to this episode. So you can't listen to it, Stuart.
Yeah, so we were able to gather and put on a double feature of our final two selection at a local movie theater. Little, I don't know if they're an art house. They're a hole in the wall.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be like a yoga studio, and then they took it over. And they run, like predominantly art house movies. But I was talking to Cameron, patron Cameron, and he was saying that the last time he had been at Beacon, they were doing like a kaiju week or something like that.
Yeah.
Or month even. I don't remember. And he was like, yeah, I'm going to watch as many Godzillas as I can. It's going to be amazing.
It's incredible because they do zero, so far as I can tell, marketing about what they're showing when
and
where.
You just have to be in the know.
You have to just pop in.
I was getting coffee at my old local shop yesterday and they asked me why I was in town. I'm like, oh, we're finishing up a Cage Match. We rented out the Beacon, doing a Nick Cage double feature. And a woman who was just having coffee in the shop was like, I did not see this. I just checked their calendar. When could I have bought tickets?
Yeah, I guess when you rent the Beacon, they don't put anything on there. I wonder if we had said so, if they would have popped it on their site or something.
Yeah.
If we were like, this is open if you did want people to buy tickets.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Next time we have a two Cage movie finale, we can do that.
In 3.5 more years.
Yeah. We're starting from the top.
Yeah. This time we're going to fight to find the worst Nicolas Cage film.
Only the stinkers and the ones where he's in it for less than a minute.
What do we need? We need 14 more movies to have another bracket.
Yeah, something like that. We're not doing that.
No, we're not.
But it was really nice to get everybody together and see everybody and meet the folks that I've never met before, like Cameron. And
yeah. Cameron is the one that you got into the show.
Yeah. You spoke to them. That's your fault.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Outside the bird.
Yeah, I believe it was the hummingbird situation. Yeah.
It's a really cool experience. Yeah. I think more people should take advantage of that if you're in the South Seattle area.
Yeah.
Or even, you know, beyond that, like people who don't live in this area and have wanted to do something like that. Most movie theaters have the option of renting for like not that much money if it's at weird hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So look into it.
So shout out to the Beacon. Thank you. Even though I don't know anyone that listens to us.
Probably not, but who cares?
Yeah.
Shout out to them either way. It's a great place.
Tell them Cage Match sent you.
Yeah, right. You'll get a discount.
No, you won't.
You won't. But yeah, what did you guys think about the actual experience of watching with people versus like most of how we've watched these movies is either solo with the three of us or like you guys had the one experience of Wild at Heart in the theater, right?
Yeah.
Well, Wild at Heart and Moonstruck. We did Moonstruck. Oh, Moonstruck. In the theater
that's
too.
Right. Yeah.
I thought it was great. It was a. It was interesting to me watching Pig with a group, especially a group including so many people who hadn't seen it before. The humor came back out and I actually was sitting there and I was like, oh, maybe this is how Meredith ended up thinking that this was a comedy. And then I was like, no, it's still not a comedy and they're still wrong.
It's a dark comedy.
I did have the same thought, though. I was like, there was more laughter in moments that I didn't really think or that would have only kind of like elicited like a little bit of a tweak of the smile or a little from me originally that it was like, oh, that is kind of funny. That's funnier than I thought.
Yeah. Well, we've seen it so many times.
That's
well,
also true.
That was going to be my experience with this is because I mean, I'm not a fan of being around that many people.
Not many people are a fan of being around you.
I'm fine. That's my gimmick. That's my shtick.
That's just acceptance. That's accepting that you're not meant for public consumption.
That's fine. That's why I do this from a bunker. Getting to engage with these movies again in a way where there are no distractions. There's nothing else to like pull me out of the moment. I don't have access to my phone. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything to like, I don't have the dogs. I can just like sit. I'm just sitting there taking in the movies. I took so much more from both of these films that I just watched like less than 2 weeks ago. It was kind of like a first watch again, just because I was so engaged with both of them.
Yeah, it was a real interesting seeing like what does and doesn't get picked up on.
Yeah, especially with Raising Arizona, like rewatching comedies is always kind of tricky because comedy relies so much on like the unexpected and that fresh watch, that watching it again in that space. I'm like, I already knew it was great. I'm like, this movie's so much better than I remembered it being.
Yeah. Yeah. The rest of the audience reminds you that everything that you know is coming is still funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Exactly. Yeah. All the John Goodman freak out in the car stuff. Everyone's just like rolling.
I just love the articulation of people's faces and just the way just words are pronounced. The car ride went after the botched mugging after the big chase. Yeah. And she's just losing her shit.
Mm-hmm. You son of a bitch.
For me, it really was about that communal aspect. It just felt more fun and more interesting. And like most of these movies I've watched on my fucking computer.
At like 1.5 speed.
Sometimes. I mean, these are
sometimes.
How is watching these movies at normal speed?
Traumatizing. Right. So slow.
Never get that much of my life back.
A 90 and a 94 minute movie? God damn. No, it's really interesting. I mean, I think that there is really something to be said about like having great audio and having a big screen, you know, and the properly dimmed room and all that kind of stuff. It's like that does make those, in particular Pig for me, it made that much more powerful in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Because that is a movie that is, you know, all about the environment and the scene and setting the light and, you know, like Raising Arizona is basically blown out lighting all the time because it's supposed to be.
Talked about the cinematography for Pig? Like, who that cinematographer
have
was?
Have we ever? I mean, probably,
way back. So, kind of one of the things I wanted to touch on is, like, our experience in doing this project has changed so much. Yeah. So, like, back in the beginning, like, we did talk about that. And we talked about that as well as we could for three doofuses.
Yeah. We're still three doofuses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've changed a little bit of the tone of how we do it.
Yeah.
You know, now instead we would talk about how salsa on your face looks
a lot like getting beat up. Yeah, it's very convincing. I believe it.
I mean, I'm always taken aback by how beautiful that film is shot. And just, seeing it on a bigger screen in a theater just really made me appreciate those little things so much more. Mm-hmm. Just the shots from like outside windows, just the framing devices. It's such a beautiful film.
I think the theater experience helped me appreciate the audio design for Pig a lot more because so much of it is reliant on like silence and whatnot, which was great.
Although one of the best lines in the movie got laughed over.
I know, but I mean, the setup for it
is
still was funny.
Is funny.
Yeah. People who have not heard the movie or seen the movie before, it's like, of course you would laugh at that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you missed the Nick Cage fuck Seattle line.
Yeah. I told Bill about that over dinner. He's like, oh, he's like, I live there. I'm like, yeah,
I like that place.
Yeah. Although every time I go to Thunderbirds game, they do a little hype up thingy when things are going well, and they play that song that's like, da, 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 da. But when they get to the like part, it regardless of who they're playing, it's always Portland sucks. Portland sucks. Like they were playing Vancouver, Canada one day. It's just like,
I
love it.
Everybody, all fans, Vancouver, Seattle, Portland sucks. Portland sucks.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
I love that.
It's one of the best things about going to T-Birds games.
One of the things that I was talking to Ira, patron Ira, who came not to the movie itself, but came afterwards to hang out, which is great.
Yeah, he was helping somebody, his in-laws move.
Yeah.
So he can make it. He's a good guy.
Yeah. But he was talking about how, speaking of sound design, in Raising Arizona, like the yodeling stuff has always been like a little just like, okay, this is crazy, you know, but he was talking about how it got him really into like a certain genre of music. And it was that movie that did it. So watching that movie yesterday in the theater, it really did matter more. Like that music made more impact for me than it has ever had for me in the past. Yeah. Also at 1.5 speed, it sounds really fucked up.
You're only into fast yodeling.
Yeah, speed yodeling.
All this slow yodeling.
Slow yodeling sounds like a sex move.
Slow yodeling. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, slow yodeling does sound like a bad sex move. It sounds like something John would be good at for some reason. I don't know why.
Because it involves a hat.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Silly love hat John. With a little feather. Drop down in the comments and let me know what you think slodling includes, and we'll try to put up a video on our Pornhub account.
Yeah, exactly. We're getting there.
It'd be great if this were the one video that got a bunch of engagement.
Yeah, right.
Finally.
Like because this is
slodling
the,
is real.
This is the one that gets us discovered. Only for them, they have like three more non episodes, and then we're gone forever.
Yep. Well, this is when Peter discovers the little tab for like, oh, click here to allow comments. Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's do this.
Oh shit! I should have produced better.
I do want to talk about that for a second. Fucking great job putting this together, Peter.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the comments. It's like, yeah, let's discuss our comments. Let me bring up
all three of them.
Yeah,
one of which
fuck
was
you,
very
Tin
nice.
Fin.
Yeah,
no, that's fine.
That guy sucks.
But no, Peter put together a great show. Put together. I had no idea what the in memoriam you were telling us was. Peter's like, yeah, we're gonna have a little in memoriam section. I'm like, did Nick Cage die? Like, I know I don't watch the news, but I think someone would have told me about that.
Probably.
But no, it was little clips from a bunch of the movies that didn't make it, most of which were contenders at one point. Most and a good some. Chunk that weren't.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Ghost Rider 1.
Jiu-Jitsu.
Adaptation.
Never a contender.
It was never a contender.
Sorry, adaptation.
A great film though.
I still think we need to do an adaptation Primal episode just for fun.
I'm kind of into that idea.
Yeah, I would do it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like both of those movies deserve a rewatching by me.
I said I would
at
rewatch
normal speed.
At normal speed. I'll do it like a regular person.
I said I would rewatch Primal.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. The adaptation Primal is going to be a real doozy.
That's the episode
adaptation again.
That's the episode that stops Nick and I from being friends.
Yeah.
Impossible.
We'd have to be friends in the first place.
Boom.
That's right. Ooh, snap.
Yeah, I got there before you.
You got smoked. You got slodled.
So. Got me good.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, it's fun. I feel very bittersweet about this entire experience right now. It's like I put a lot of work and enjoyment and annoyance into this, you know? It's like, it's been really cool seeing the turnout and people actually caring and all that kind of stuff. So it's like bittersweet is the only word I can really think of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I will say this process of making this podcast with the two of you is I've never seen Peter. I've never seen you more elated. Happy. Those are the same word. Mm-hmm. Just the cackling from next, but also just the most mad I've ever seen you. Just trying to rein us two idiots in.
I know. I wish I had the raw audio from the, what was it? Ghost Rider and doggy dog doggy or something. Yeah. Oh my god.
With this. Yeah. This one. Why are you fucking jerking off at me?
That one, I think we were recording in summertime too. It was like hot in your old apartment.
They were juggling bowling balls upstairs.
Yeah, everything just was awful.
Like, we kept having to stop, so I kept drinking.
Yeah, the green place was just the worst. Between like the person watching TV next door, the fridge we had to unplug in order to record because it was too loud.
These are the good old days. The bad equipment that we had to start with.
The super squeaky benches.
Yep. Hayden just sometimes coming home.
Yeah. And then having to be like, Hayden, go sit in your room quietly.
Make no noise.
Yeah, we've got the living room today.
And then that episode is the one we recorded from Hayden's room.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah.
Where
it was a perfect storm of shit for that episode.
Yeah. I love how his furniture included his bed, expensive computer chair, but no desk.
Yeah.
Or computer.
So you know what that chair was for. Cucking. Hayden's expensive computer cuck chair.
But yeah, it's been interesting, the process. You know, we've jumped around to lots of different locations. You've moved away, like having to deal with different technology challenges, all sorts of shit. It's like, it's been a lot to learn, but it's been really, I would say, rewarding for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cut down the setup time for remote people to a pretty reasonable 3 or 4 mistakes.
I mostly remember the process now.
Having not had to think about that aspect of it for a while. Just staring over a pool of wires, be like, what goes where?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I know these go in things.
And we never just thought to write it down.
Yeah. Nope. That would have been the coward's way.
Yeah.
Let's do, before we actually get into voting on these two movies, let's do just sort of a retrospective. Like, what's like something really fun, stupid, memorable, anything that you've had in this process that you maybe just want to speak on?
I've enjoyed, especially in the early days, like listening to the sheen of like, we made a thing still like going on and not having listeners yet. So like our numbers were us.
Yeah. I mean, kind of.
Yeah. But just like listening to like, and again, I was drinking at this point still. I mean, I don't fucking remember the shit I say on this no matter what, but there were definitely times where like I'd be listening to an episode of ours and I would listen to it. And I'm like, I should have said this. That would have been funny. And then 5 seconds later, Pashon went polydictyl. I'm like, got it.
Yeah.
So just appreciating, just being able to yourself. Appreciate. Well, just being able to appreciate.
Good job, me. Yeah. Oh, pass me.
Our dumbassery and our friendship in like a tangible way where I'm like, man, I can go back and listen to Peter lose his shit over fucking next whenever I want. And it's such a nice memory to actually have captured.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to think about it. I mean, for me, I think a piece of it is that sort of archival aspect. Like, even though my computer got stolen that one time and I lost a bunch of shit that I've done, like all the art still exists. That's going to exist in some sort of internet archive probably forever until the internet archives melt down into the ocean.
There is a small but a very real possibility that this could end up someday in the Library of Congress.
Fuck yes.
I am really excited for when my brain inevitably goes and I'm like fucking just in a shitty retirement home, like just babbling to myself, listening to episodes of us talking.
Yeah.
And me just talking back. That'll be uncomfortable for everyone.
It'll be really weird when you actually sync it up exactly and you start just knowing all the words.
Yeah. And you've got stand-in old people to sit down and pretend to be me and Peter. And then you just say the lines at them and then they just drool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. Love it.
Just like us.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about you, Nick?
You know, I really appreciate that this podcast has ignited a love of Nicolas Cage films in me. Because this was something like, I don't know, when we first started this out, I had maybe seen 7 Nicolas Cage films total.
Yeah, I was pretty similar. I think I had seen Raising Arizona, Con Air, Face Off, The Rock, Guarding Tess of all things, and then maybe one more. And I couldn't even tell you what it would have been.
Yeah.
Amos and Andrew.
Yeah. I mean, there's something. I mean, because, yeah, when I pitched this idea as mostly just like, this would be a funny bit. I'd seen maybe like 5 or 6 Nick Cage movies. My understanding of Nick Cage was just the jokes of like, you know, he's a bad actor in good movies. Like, is he secretly a genius? Like, Nick Cage is bad. And we've watched most of his films now, and he leaves it all on the table. Out of most of the movies I've seen, I can think of maybe two movies where I don't think he fucking cared at all. I think in most cases, he's trying something and he's putting something in there. I'm like, I can say, I think he's a great actor in a world that doesn't appreciate him.
Yeah.
I think it's the rest of our fault.
My turn on that is just, he's a good actor who makes questionable judgment, like, in how he performs.
Yeah. I mean, I think that at least he usually gives it his all.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a couple of those movies that, you know, the left behinds of it all, where it's just like, oh boy, this is really just, you needed some money.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just doing like this for the brother.
Yeah. Then he got some of those where it seems like he was doing it for the money, but also was like, but wait, they kind of need me. I get to do weird shit now.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Well, like, from what I've heard of Gunslinger so far, my assumption is, and this, like, the same with like Jiu-Jitsu, it's like, he's there to get his name on a poster. So they just bring him in there, just like, do whatever you want. We don't care. You're literally, we're paying for your name. So those types of performances are the most fun for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I, you know, not to get ahead of it, but I'm looking forward to rewatching Gunslingers before we record. So
I'm excited to watch it.
I will also watch it again.
I will definitely be less inebriated than I was the first time I watched it.
Well, so I think we can kind of move into the actual voting aspect of this now. But I think one of the things that I'm really pleased with from this experiment, because looking at it at first, it was like, great idea, we'll watch all these movies and it'll, you know, whittle them down. And then it was like, oh, my God, fuck, we watch these movies like a bunch.
Yeah.
Each of these movies that goes the distance gets watched 6 times in our timeline.
Minimum. Yeah.
Minimum. Yeah. So, and that's, yeah, not counting any of the rewatchings that you guys did, any of the stuff like cutting clips from stuff, any of that. You know, it's like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. But it did prove out, in my mind, the theory that, like, these are the best movies because you can watch them forever. Like, you can just keep watching it. You know, a lot of people have said, oh, yeah, I've watched Raising Arizona like 50 times.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
So I think that we did kind of accidentally prove our point, you know?
Yeah, without
science,
you know, trying too hard or
thinking too much.
Yeah, without the thought involved in science, we managed to science this out.
Yeah.
And that's good. Good for us. It's been a real thing, like the fatigue that you feel in some films wasn't necessarily present in these, which is great.
Yeah. And I mean, we just did the final four a week ago.
Yeah, week and a half.
So I'm rewatching these movies in the same month.
Right.
Like, within 2 weeks of each other, I've like sat down and watched both these movies through. And I'm like, these still are great. Like, I was enjoying every moment of these films.
Neat.
I'm just going to start speeding up that timeline. Just start watching Pig and Raising Arizona every like other day.
Yeah.
And then every day. Always.
Kind of like how I listen to How Do I Live?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to get like special glasses that can project one movie on each lens.
Will they be little crosses?
Absolutely. And I'll start talking like this.
I don't get this reference yet.
Oh, you're going to love it though. So, you know, it's never really mattered for us when we've done the decision-making process, but we did have everyone in the audience vote using little bunnies that they had to put into a box.
This is your moment, people.
Yeah. So what was the final tally?
So the final tally for the people who voted and didn't steal the bunnies.
Yeah, there were some abstentions.
Which is fine. I respect their choice to steal.
They voted for Con Air.
I respect that more. Was we had 19 votes for Raising Arizona and 20 votes for Pig. So it was wildly close. All those people who held out but really thought Raising Arizona was the better one, you lost the chance to make the majority.
Yeah, for real.
All it would have taken.
Well, now, because I don't want to be told what to do, I feel like I should vote for Raising Arizona.
You got to do what your conscience tells you.
Yeah.
Fuck it, Primal.
Yeah, Primal.
All the way, baby. Great white jag. Great white jag.
Peter, you need to cut the podcast right here.
Yeah, that's it. Just dead air.
Just dead air.
Patreons.
Yeah, no outro, nothing. It's like, done, Primal.
This
Primal
one's wins. For you, Stuart.
Yeah. Michael, in over the course of the next 5 years, Michael will finally listen to this podcast and get to the last episode.
Furious. Yeah, it's kind of the equivalent of like, it was all a dream.
Yeah. Going into this, I was so sure that like Pig was like just a solid, it's Pig, it's got to be Pig. But again, getting that fresh watch of Raising Arizona in that space, like where I'm just locked in and I'm enjoying it. I'm like, this movie is so great and it stood the test of time so well. And it will continue to. And it is so approachable and perfect. And everyone's performance is outstanding. That just the whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, it might be Raising Arizona.
Yeah. Raising Arizona also got elevated pretty hard just by being in the theater. I think that's one that benefited a lot from the larger format. Yeah. Whereas Pig, you can really interact with it almost to the same level in a home situation.
Mm. Yeah, as, I agree with that.
As the cinema experience. Which was still terrific to see it in the cinema.
I mean, like you said, and like you said with Pig, like those comedic moments stand out a lot more when you're
in a room. With a group of people.
Being able to enjoy comedy with people like that was elevated Raising Arizona a lot more in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, why don't you go first, Sean? Tell me what you think. And I'll take the opposite.
Classic cage match.
I'll explain it poorly and just really get you angry.
I think
super classic cage match.
I think of this entire experiment, the best thing I'm taking away from this is Pig. I love that movie. Huge respect for Nicolas Cage giving that performance when he did in his career. And the fact that that movie, more than I think most of the stuff he's done in 20 years, really shows those chops. Like he is that still that amazing character actor, and when he is given the right material and a love for the material, he just disappears into that role and he is the world's greatest actor because he can still do stuff like that. Raising Arizona is classic. Raising Arizona is damn near a perfect movie and I love it so much, and getting that fresh watch, I really sells me like that's his best film. Like for this, like that's the most rewatchable film. That's, well, like I said, Pig's my favorite film, but Raising Arizona is his best film.
I'm inclined to agree that Raising Arizona,
against every bone in my body.
Wow, I really just have to commit to this bit, don't you?
No, I agree. Raising Arizona is like the epitome of a Nicolas Cage film. It's got just big choice performance. It's got a great character. It's acted out phenomenally. Great direction, great script, everything. It's fucking nines all over the place. Is that what people say? Nines? Dimes? Fucking.
It's good.
Skibbity toilet. and Pig is a beautiful film with great sentiments and terrific performance, and will always be something that I enjoy. Raising Arizona for sure for me is the choice in this. It's like you said, it's a near perfect film.
Yeah,
right on. I mean, I disagree with you guys, but whatever.
We're solidly back into a position where your opinion doesn't matter.
I know, it's great.
So
I love not having the pressure of this.
We're gonna go with the minority vote.
Yeah, right. No, I think from the beginning, for me, Pig was always my favorite. It, you know, it shouldn't have been a surprise because it's rated well. Everybody loves that movie when they see it. It really did surprise me how much I like it and how much I still want to rewatch it. Mm-hmm. But I totally am fine with Raising Arizona. I think it's a great movie. I enjoyed it every single time I've watched it more. So,
you know,
each experience has grown for me, even though I still would prefer Pig to be the winner. But yeah, well, Raising Arizona, great movie.
Yeah, I'm going to just... the Nick Cage of it all.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of Nick Cage, when you think of those performances that really have made him the name he is, Hi McDonough is definitely up there, and just it's so good.
Yeah. The Nick Cage of it all.
Yeah. you know, that whole reason we started this.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Fuck yeah. Raising Arizona. Good work, Coen brothers from 1987.
Right.
Yeah. You stumbled into something nice.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Do you have any final thoughts?
Thank you, everybody who came on this ride with us and encouraged our chicanery for this long.
Yeah.
Or at least not. And just enabled us. Straight up canceled us.
Yeah.
And thanks to all of our guests. Peter, list out all of our guests.
In order.
Okay. I actually can do that.
Yes.
Oric, Eric, Gary and Rox, Meredith and their brother Evan. And speaking of siblings, Alex and Sammy, Shay, my brother Philip, Marissa, Daryl Edge, John, Josh, Jimmy Harad, Brandon, Derek and Ryan of the Coming of Cage podcast, Josh and Rich of the Nick Cage Fight podcast, Petros, Alex Guy, Linda, Donnie, and Adrian of Cage's Kiss podcast, Seth, Brian Kim McCormick, Chris Koffel, Ian, Lunchbox, Lauren Freeman, Tank, Alec, Ross, Carlos, and of course, Hornquack.
But yeah, no, I mean, all our guests, it was awesome. It was a very fun experience to have that. I think that's one of my favorite takeaways is the guesting on here really changed our game.
Not having to just talk to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
the guests really helped with this.
Yeah.
And I appreciate all of them.
Yeah,
me too. Thank you all for coming on this trip with us.
Yeah. And, you know, special thanks to our patrons. I'm really amazed that you guys supported us this entire time. To our Sparkle buddies, Josh, Sean, Josie, Rico, Matt, Adam, Bill, and Stuart. Right at the end. Thank you, Stuart.
Stuart.
And
Stuart.
To our cage dancers, Ira, John, Freeman, Lance, Nathan, and Cameron. It was awesome celebrating with the people who could come to the movie. And we're not done making content. There's stuff that's going to come out still. We've got bonus episodes.
He's got new movies coming out.
He's got movies. He's got shows.
You'll get surprise drops occasionally.
We've got older films to talk about too.
Yeah. So we're not gone.
But we are forgotten.
we're just done arguing in the same format.
Yeah.
Correct.
No more voting.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we get to just enjoy things. For fun.
Ooh.
Gross.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks. Sean, Nick, badass. We did it. B-A-D.
Yeah. Slowdle us out of here.
Do 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 do. Bye. 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 Rosie, come here. You're going to go to the bathroom. You're going to whine in there, but just don't bark, okay?
Famous last words.
Yeah. That's what I say to all my dates, too. You're going in the bathroom. You can whine, but don't bark.
No barking. Yeah, how many dogs got bit at Pete's house?
Benjamin Franklin Gates and Ozzy just spent the entire time biting each other's faces.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Dog makeouts.
Fucking touching tongues.
Mm.
It's an intimate moment.
Yeah, that they do on other people's laps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do that in private, you fucking pervs.
Yeah.
Ozzy can't help it. He's got that St. Helens in him. I know the feeling. I'm about to start biting faces and licking mouths.